Good morning. It's Thursday, June 4th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. For many rural Kansas communities, daily routines are punctuated by the sound of the town whistle.
And especially for us kids growing up, we knew the 6 o'clock whistle was when we needed to come home.
That's coming up after the news. Wichita's pay parking plan came with numerous tickets for drivers who backed into parking spaces. City leaders voted this week to largely limit the ban on back-end parking. KMUW's Meg Britton-Mellish reports.
Back-end parking had been banned in Wichita for nearly 2 decades, but many residents say they didn't know that until last year. That's when a city contractor charged with collecting new parking fees and issuing tickets began aggressively enforcing the ban. Public Works staff say enforcement is about safe driving habits and collecting parking fees. Residents like Margaret Shabazz told the city council the change didn't make sense.
This discussion is not about parking. It is about ensuring that our ordinance makes sense, that citizens are clearly informed of rules, and that residents have the freedom to make reasonable decisions about their own safety.
Back-end parking will be allowed in garages and lots, but remains banned for on-street spaces. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton-Mellish.
The second Kansas GOP gubernatorial debate takes place tomorrow, with 4 candidates vying for the hearts and minds of Kansans. But as State House reporter Zach Boblett explains, not all Republican candidates will be debating due to a participation requirement imposed by the state's party.
This is the second debate in a row in which Republican gubernatorial candidates Vicki Schmidt and Stacey Rogers will not participate due to terms demanded by the Kansas GOP. One requirement for debate participation is a $10,000 donation. A Kansas GOP official says the state party follows the presidential Republican primary debate model, and the required donations help pay for the venue. Rogers disagrees with the requirement.
It's pay to play, plain and simple.
Schmidt agrees with this position. She says that she would like to participate in the debate, but strongly disagrees with the required donation. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
The debate airs Friday night on KSN. The campaign manager for a Democratic candidate for Kansas governor uploaded documents to a website used in a recent attack on a political rival. Rachel Schnelly with the Kansas News Service reports.
The name of Senator Patrick Schmidt's campaign manager, Ryan Carey, was found on documents uploaded to a website about Schmidt's political rival, Adam Hamilton, senior pastor at Resurrection Church. The documents detailed complaints about how Hamilton's church handled abuse allegations at a church camp 2 decades ago. The Kansas Reflector reports the site did not disclose if it was paid for by the Schmidt campaign, which would violate federal election law. The site was later taken offline. Hamilton is believed to be the frontrunner for the Democratic ticket, and Schmidt has called publicly for him to drop out. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly.
The owner of a newspaper that serves Black communities in Wichita and Kansas City is running for a seat in the Kansas House of Representatives. Benita Gooch is the owner and editor-in-chief of the Community Voice. She has filed to run against incumbent State Representative Ford Carr in the Democratic primary for Wichita's 84th District. No Republican has filed to run in the district, so the winner of the Democratic primary will likely take office in January. Gooch's father, U.L. Gooch, better known as Rip Gooch, served on the Wichita City Council and then in the Kansas Senate from 1993 to 2004. 2 members of the Sedgwick County Commission face challengers as they seek re-election in November. Republican incumbent Pete Meitzner will face Democrat Sarah McMillan for the District 1 seat in Northeast Sedgwick County. McMillan ran unsuccessfully for Wichita School Board last year. In District 5, Libertarian Olivia Hayes has filed to run against Republican incumbent Jim Howell. Republican Ryan Beatty is running unopposed for re-election for the District 4 seat, which represents the north central part of the county. Monday was the deadline to file for office. A Kansas organization is funding programs to help people with substance abuse disorders get back on their feet. KMUW's Roger Nomer has more.
Kansas Fights Addiction is offering grants for treatment programs across the state. Programs that use either community health workers or peer recovery are eligible. The grants could provide workers to help people find housing, or they could support people in recovery who offer guidance to those starting treatment. Alyssa Nava with Kansas Fights Addiction says programs that connect people with both resources and peers are effective.
It's extremely valuable, and it's kind of one of these key pieces you see across the nation is also being funded pretty heavily.
The grants are open to most organizations or cities. The deadline to apply is June 26th. More information is at sunflowerfoundation.org. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
Kansas health facilities will receive nearly $80 million from the federal Rural Health Transformation Fund. Beck Shackelford-Wongonga of the Kansas News Service reports the fund is meant to expand rural access to health care and help struggling hospitals.
Children's Mercy is one of 39 grant recipients. Dr. Ahmed Abdelmoiti says the hospital plans to create a pediatric chronic care network by partnering with primary care clinics and using telehealth tools. He says they'll use AI to help screen for kids who are at risk of chronic illness or already have one. Abdelmoiti says currently, kids in rural areas don't have access to this type of technology or medical specialization.
That highlights the gap in health equity that we currently have in rural areas, and this work will significantly close and mitigate this gap.
Abdelmoiti says the goal is to intervene early to help avoid serious illness and hospitalization. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wongonga.
Wichita's new transit center opens Saturday. The new center, officially named The Hub, is at 207 South Sycamore Street, just across from Equity Bank Park in Wichita's Delano District. To celebrate the opening, Wichita Transit will offer free rides on all routes from Saturday through June 20th. The opening also marks the introduction of a new bus route known as the Pawnee Connector. It will run from the intersection of 23rd Street South and Meridian near Osage Park to the area of Harry and Edgemore Streets near Caldwell Middle School. The Library of Congress is coming to Wichita to interview U.S. military veterans and collect their stories. The interviews are a part of the Veterans History Project, which gathers oral histories, photographs, letters, and other items for future research. Service members can sign up for a 30 to 60 minute time slot and bring original documents to donate to the library. Interviews will take place Monday, June 8th at the American Red Cross Wichita office at 707 North Main. More information is on the American Red Cross Kansas Facebook page. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. In some places, ringing church bells offer a sense of community. But in many Kansas towns, the occasional blast of the daily whistle or siren signals it's time to get up, have lunch, go back to work, or eat supper. KMUW's Becky Tanner offers a look at some of the unique sounds of rural Kansas.
Each weekday morning in St. John, Kansas, the early birds are awakened by the rousing sounds of the town whistle. It's the same sound as the severe weather sirens, only the whistle is never as loud or as long. And it is predictable when you get to know the town rhythms.
The first time I come here and heard the whistle, I had been sleeping the first couple of nights in the empty, dark church by myself.
That's Mike Rousseau, who moved to St. John along with his wife, Dorothy Tobe, in July of 2023.
Come Monday morning at 7 a.m., the siren went off, and my response was, "What the hell is that?" Because when we were still in Denver and had told everybody we were going to Kansas, all we had heard for weeks was, "Oh, there's tornadoes out there."
No doubt the whistle takes a little getting used to. From Abilene to Lucas, Geneseo, Bennington, and other Kansas communities, the whistles are a symbol of rural Kansas. Some started more than a century ago as a method of keeping track of the time of day, Most people then didn't have watches or clocks. It helped people come together in the routines of life. For many rural Kansans, the town whistles are nostalgic, a sense of time and place and tradition. In the town of Greensburg, the whistle has another meaning. Their town was struck by a devastating tornado on May 4th, 2007.
I'm Stacey Barnes. I'm the city administrator in Greensburg. And we have had a town whistle for a long time. Prior to the tornado in 2007, it was something I remember as a kid growing up that blew at 7 a.m., noon, 1, and 6 p.m. And especially for us kids growing up, we knew the 6 o'clock whistle was when we needed to come home. Then, of course, when we had the tornado in 2007, our sirens were all destroyed and were down for a time. And then when they were put back up, that was something that quite a few people in the community really wanted as a sign of normal.
Here's Kenny Clark, owner of Clark's Barbershop in St. John, and who for 61 years has been located half a block from the town whistle.
It never changes. It's the same. So, and whenever something happens and it doesn't go off, there's a bit of a glitch somewhere and it don't go off, then you kind of wonder what's wrong. So you do look forward to it.
I'm Becky Tanner.
You can read more about town whistles at kmuw.org. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on The Range, Wichita State welcomes a new vice president, plus another big reveal for a popular work of art. So join us on The Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
This is 89.1 KMUW, and here's this week's events calendar. Riverfest continues through Saturday night with live music, a powwow experience, and fireworks, and lots of other events. Lavender Days is 10 to 2 this Saturday at Prairie Pines with lavender in bloom, lavender drinks and treats, and shopping for lavender products, and also live music. It runs every Saturday through the end of June. The Friends of the Wichita Public Library's 150th Anniversary Ice Cream Social is this Saturday. It's from 1 to 2:30 at Alford Library, and it's the first of 7 ice cream socials with free ice cream sandwiches from Freddy's Frozen Custard. ICT Soup is this Saturday at noon at Harvester Arts. It's a crowd-funded meal for artist projects. You'll hear short pitches from local artists and get a chance to vote for the idea you want to see funded. The Wichita Pride Launch Party is 7 o'clock this Sunday evening at Rain Bistro and Lounge with a drag performance to kick off Pride Month and the Wichita Pride celebrations. Reservations are encouraged. The Bradley Fair Summer Concert Series is 7:30 next Thursday evening. It's at Bradley Fair Plaza, and that series will continue every Thursday evening through July 2nd with a different band each week. You'll need to bring your own chair. And Jefferson Starship is 8 p.m. next Thursday at the Cotillion. You can find out more about these and other events by going to kmuw.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.